Roughly 50 vessels carrying about 430 activists were involved in the global Sumud flotilla that prompted Turkey to ask Interpol for red notices for Israel's prime minister. Welcome to Debug the Hype. I'm Alex Morgan. This show is not affiliated with Reddit or any subreddit and curates stories from online communities. Today is August 22nd, 2026. That flotilla action and a separate cross-border tariff standoff both moved from the diplomatic margins into headlines this week. A leaked recording captured U.S. Vice President J.D. Vance mocking Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney, saying Carney comes in and pucks his chest out and tries to out-tough Donald Trump. The tape surfaced as Washington briefly threatened sweeping 50% tariffs on roughly $20 billion of Canadian goods. The leak turns private diplomacy into public theater and, as many commenters on the thread noted, makes a negotiated fix politically harder. Watch this, because when donor room remarks leak, they widen the domestic audience that negotiators must answer to, and that can harden positions on both sides. The Dutch Data Protection Authority hit Uber with an €825 million fine for using automated systems to suspend driver accounts without proper human review, saying the company violated the EU's rules on automated decisions and the right to be informed. Uber says it will appeal and disputes the penalty. Regulators framed the ruling as enforcing Article 22 of the GDPR on algorithmic management. This matters beyond one platform. Regulators are making clear that automation can't be a black box where people lose livelihoods without explanation, and companies that rely on opaque suspension systems should expect audits and compliance costs. Turkey asked Interpol to circulate red notices seeking the arrest of Israel's prime minister and another Israeli over the May interception of an aid flotilla, a legal move that is as much political theater as it is a test of international law. Istanbul prosecutors have issued arrest warrants charging genocide and crimes against humanity tied to the interception of the global Sumud convoy. Turkey's justice minister put it bluntly, "We absolutely do not accept the notion that the Netanyahu administration is immune from prosecution." That quote matters because it signals Ankara is using formal legal channels, not only rhetoric, and because red notices can travel farther than domestic indictments. There are requests to police forces worldwide, even though they are non-binding and courts often treat them as advisory. Practically, the odds that a sitting head of government will be detained are low. Many states cite head of state immunity, and Interpol itself filters politically charged requests, but the move raises immediate diplomatic costs. If Netanyahu tries to travel to countries that enforce red notices or that take the Istanbul warrant seriously, he could face detention proceedings or visa complications. It also layers onto existing international action. The International Criminal Court has already issued warrants linked to Gaza-related conduct, so Turkey's step amplifies the legal pressure and shifts some of the dispute from closed-door diplomacy into public judicial fora. Reddit threads reacted the way you'd expect. Some users cheered the pursuit of accountability. Others dismissed it as symbolic grandstanding or warned it could further polarize regional politics. The practical takeaway is twofold.
First, legal instruments are being weaponized in parallel with diplomacy. Second, even if arrests remain unlikely, reputational and travel penalties can be real and immediate levers in international contests.
Across the Atlantic, a different kind of escalation went economic. The U.S. imposed tariffs of up to 50% on about $20 billion in Canadian goods after last-minute talks collapsed, and Ottawa immediately suspended negotiations and pledged dollar-for-dollar retaliation. Prime Minister Mark Carney ordered Canadian negotiators home and framed the U.S. last position as unfair, while Washington invoked a rarely used Section 338 of the Tariff Act of 1930 to justify levies on a broad swath of items, everything from sporting equipment and liquor to building materials and clothing. Those specifics are worth stressing because tariffs aren't abstract. A 50% duty on a pallet of plywood or cases of wine changes buying decisions at the store and reprograms supply contracts overnight. Business groups in both countries warned about higher consumer prices and disrupted supply chains. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce warned that these duties will drive up costs for U.S. families and risk jobs that depend on integrated North American production. There are also legal avenues. Affected companies and industry associations are likely to challenge the Section 338 proclamations in U.S. courts, and exemptions for essential items may be negotiated, but litigation takes time and a lot of economic pain is front-loaded. Reddit reactions split between nationalist satisfaction at a hard line and worry about domestic fallout. Provincial leaders in Canada publicly debated whether to accept restored U.S. alcohol on shelves as part of any deal, a small but concrete example of how local politics and consumer choices now feed international bargaining. Put another way, this is a reminder that modern diplomacy increasingly mixes legal instruments, tariffs, and public theatrics, and that the immediate victims are often supply chains and shoppers who did not vote on the policy.
Those two stories, legal escalation against a sitting leader and high-stakes cross-border tariffs, are linked by a common dynamic. States are reaching for tools outside classic diplomacy to compel behavior, and both tools have side effects that ripple into everyday life. A red notice can limit a leader's mobility and raise the cost of international engagement, even if it doesn't produce an arrest. A 50% tariff can, in weeks, alter factory sourcing decisions, raise retail prices, and push companies to reconfigure production networks. In both cases, domestic audiences matter. Leaked fundraising tapes and online threads change how leaders calculate political support, and domestic business groups or provincial governments can force compromises or entrench standoffs. For listeners tracking the wider picture, that means two watchpoints this fall: travel patterns of senior officials and the composition of supply chains for goods targeted by tariffs. If senior officials avoid certain states, or if manufacturers shift plants and suppliers to skirt duties, the geopolitical move will have become a structural economic shift, and those are harder to reverse. A final connective note: online communities aren't just spectators here. In the flotilla and legal thread, users pointed to video evidence and raised questions about chain of custody, practical concerns that prosecutors and courts will need to answer. In the tariff threads, small business owners and provincial leaders used social platforms to push bargaining chips into public view. That's not new, but it accelerates the feedback loop. Public outrages and leaked remarks push negotiators into tougher postures, which then invite more legal or economic countermeasures. Expect more of this hybrid diplomacy, where courts, tariffs, and social platforms intersect.
If countries keep treating courts and customs as instruments of statecraft, be ready for more surprise costs at the checkout line and on the travel itinerary. I'm Alex Morgan, Debug the Hype.